dedicated to the memory of Christopher Dylan Micah, a toxic boy and infidel, if ever there was one. Three cheers for giving your heart in an anthem for solitude. Rest in peace, my dear friend. My Old Man, written by Ernest Hemingway and performed by Frank Markopoulos. I guess, looking at it now, my old man was cut out for a fat guy, one of those regular little roly fat guys you see around, but he sure never got that way, except a little toward the last, and then it wasn't his fault. He was riding over the jumps only, and he could afford to carry plenty of weight then. I remember the way he'd pull on a rubber shirt over a couple of jerseys and a big sweatshirt over that and get me to run with him in the forenoon in the hot sun. He'd have maybe taken a trial trip with one of Razzo's skins early in the morning after just getting in from Torino at 4 o'clock in the morning and beating it out to the stables in a cab, and then with the dew all over everything and the sun just starting to get going, I'd help him pull off his boots and he'd get into a pair of sneakers and all these sweaters and we'd start out. "Come on, kid," he'd say, stepping up and down on his toes in front of the jock's dressing room. "Let's get moving." Then we'd start off jogging around the infield once, maybe, with him ahead, running nice, and then turn out the gate and along one of those roads with all the trees along both sides of them that run out from San Siro. I'd go ahead of him when we hit the road, and I could run pretty stout, and I'd look around and he'd be jogging easy just behind me, and after a little while, I'd look around again and he'd begun to sweat. Sweating heavy, and he'd just be dogging it along with his eyes on my back, but when he'd catch me looking at him, he'd grin and say, "Sweating plenty?" When my old man grinned, nobody could help but grin too. We'd keep on running out toward the mountains, and then my old man would yell, "Hey, Joe!" And I'd look back, and he'd be sitting under a tree with a towel he'd had around his waist wrapped around his neck. I'd come back and sit down beside him, and he'd pull a rope out of his pocket and start skipping rope out in the sun with the sweat pouring off his face, and him skipping rope out in the white dust with the rope going cloppity-cloppity-clop-clop-clop, and the sun hotter and him working harder up and down a patch of the road. Say, it was a treat to see my old man skip rope, too. He could whir it fast or lop it slow and fancy. Say, you ought to have seen wops look at us sometimes when they'd come by, going into town, walking along with big white steers hauling their cart. They sure looked as though they thought the old man was nuts. He'd start the rope whirring till they'd stop dead, still, and watch him, then give the steers a cluck and a poke with the goad and get going again. When I'd sit watching him working out in the hot sun, I sure felt fond of him. He sure was fun. And he'd done his work so hard, and he'd finish up with a regular whirring that'd drive the sweat out on his face like water, and then sling the rope at the tree and come over and sit down with me and lean back against the tree with his towel and a sweater wrapped around his neck. "Sure as hell keeping it down, Joe," he'd say, and lean back and shut his eyes and breathe long and deep. "It ain't like when you're a kid." Then he'd get up before he started to cool, and we'd jog along back to the stables. That's the way it was, keeping down to weight. He was worried all the time. Most jocks can just about ride off all they want to. A jock loses about a kilo every time he rides, but my old man was sort of dried out, and he couldn't keep down his kilos without all that running. I remember once at San Siro, Rigoli, a little wop that was riding for Bizzoni, came across the paddock going to the bar for something cool and flicking his boots with his whip after he'd just weighed in, and my old man had just weighed in too and came out with the saddle under his arm, looking red-faced and tired and too big for his silks, and he stood there looking at young Rigoli standing up to the outdoors bar, cool and kid-looking, and I says, "What's the matter, Dad?" Because I thought maybe Rigoli had bumped him or something, and he just looked at Rigoli and said, "Oh, to hell with it," and went on to the dressing room. Well, it would have been all right maybe if we'd stayed in Milan or ridden at Milan and Torino, because if there ever were any easy courses, it's those two. "Pianola, Joe," my old man said when he dismounted in the winning stall after what the wops thought was a hell of a steeplechase. I asked him once, "This course rides itself. It's the pace you're going at that makes riding the jumps dangerous, Joe. We ain't going any pace here, and they ain't any really bad jumps either. But it's the pace always, not the jumps, that makes the trouble." San Siro was the swellest course I'd ever seen, but the old man said it was a dog's life.